Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, last Sunday morning, I preached about the journey from the presence of the Lord. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And it started when Cain and Abel both came to worship. They both came into the presence of God. That's what they came for, was to worship. And Cain brought his offering to God. He brought of the fruit of the land and gave it to God. But it was out of obligation. It wasn't in obedience. It wasn't following the teachings that he had been raised up in. He was trying to do it his own way. And God rejected his offering. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock, or the best that he had. He offered it to God out of love, and God accepted his gift. And Cain got so angry and blamed Abel for God rejecting his gift. And so he killed Abel in his anger, in his wrath. And when I was looking at this, I thought, you know, Cain was already headed in the wrong direction before this event ever took place. If you read through this, the whole story reveals just a complete lack of reverence for God in Cain's life. The way he responded to God's rejection, instead of being horrified that God rejected him, instead of just falling down and saying, "Oh God, you've got to accept me," that's not what happened. He got mad. And when God confronted him with his sin, the murder of Abel, his response to God shows such a lack of reverence. He was already headed in the wrong direction. And when God pronounced judgment on Cain, he said, "The ground's not going to yield for you the way it always has. You're not going to be able to get the bumper crops you've been used to. And you're always going to be a fugitive. You're always going to be a vagabond." Of course, Cain didn't repent. We don't read where he showed any remorse for the fact that his brother was dead. He obviously has no reverence for God. He just whined about how his punishment's too great. So God, in his mercy and in his grace, put a mark on Cain. Said, "If anybody sees you, and if they choose to slay you, then I'll avenge your death sevenfold on them." So God was being, he wasn't going to let anybody do to Cain what Cain had done to Abel. What mercy and what grace. And that's what we talked about last week. And I pointed out how it was such a quick journey from that place of worship, when Cain was bringing his offering to God, to where he was departing out of the presence of God. Such a quick journey. Well, this morning I want to talk about where Cain decided to go, where he chose to dwell, and where we choose to dwell sometimes if we're not careful. Genesis 4:16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Now Eden, we know Eden was the first paradise. It was the first dwelling place that God created for the crown of his creation for us. I thought Tammy talked about how God formed us and all the intricacies of the human body this morning in Sunday school class, and it's always amazing to me. And I know nothing about how it all works together, very little about how it all works together. But I do know that if I touch something hot, my brain tells my hand to pull back. And that's amazing to me. Now, what all had to happen for that to happen? Well, I don't know which muscle does it, but one of these muscles contracts and the other one lets loose so I can pull that back. But nerves from here send a message up my arm, and instantly, it's amazing. We are the crown of God's creation. He loved us so much, and He created a place for us. He created a garden. He created a paradise. That was the dwelling place that he created for Adam and Eve. But they've been cast out of the Garden of Eden when at this point where we are now, because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and because God wanted to protect them from the tree of life. Listen to this, Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now I want to point out as a side note that the tree of life was among the trees that they could have eaten every day. Now think about that. They could have had the fruit of the tree of life from day one. It was theirs. It was available, and yet they chose to bring death into the world by disobedience. And they chose knowledge over life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose knowledge over life. And there's a lot of people, I thought when Tammy's Sunday school lesson, she got to reading some of those reasons why they think abortion's okay. I thought that's exactly what's happening in our day. People are choosing knowledge over life. They have made themselves so smart that they don't need God. They have tried to figure everything out, and they've got explanations for everything that justify the life that they're living. They have chosen knowledge over life. They've chosen knowledge over God. Paul told us that this day was going to come in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. I mean, even the church world is at this point. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There are so many that are more interested in hearing what they want to hear than they are in hearing the truth of God's word. They have a form of worship, a form of religion, but they're denying the truth of a new life in Christ, that there's a difference when we come to Him, when we give Him our life. They're denying that. They're saying you can live any way you want to and still be a Christian. Paul also described them this way in 2 Timothy 3:5. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And then in verse 7 he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Choosing knowledge over life. They tell you they've never had a better relationship with the Lord. I've had some of them tell me that. Oh, I've never been closer to the Lord. But they're living life for themselves, not for Him. They're doing what they want to do, not what He wants them to do. They're making life choices based on what they desire. They care very little about what God wants. As for Adam and Eve, because of that choice in their life, because they chose knowledge over life, they were cast out of the garden, and the entrance of the Garden of Eden was secured and guarded and protected. As for where Cain chose to dwell, the Bible tells us that it was east of Eden. That's where the cherubim was put, at the east of Eden. I think that's curious. God set up the no entry sentry, the cherubim, set him up at the east of Eden. And I don't know if Cain was thinking maybe that cherubim would let down his guard and he could get back into the garden. I don't know what was going on in his mind. But I think it's interesting that he went to the east of Eden. But he dwelt in Nod. Now there's a lot of people that believe that the place where he dwelt wasn't called Nod at the time when Cain settled there. They believe that Nod actually got its name because of Cain's life, because of Cain's own situation. In other words, it was named Nod because of the curse that was on Cain. It literally means the land of wanderings, restlessness, rootlessness, quaking, shaking, trembling. It's the picture of an earthquake. No matter how hard you try, if you're in a major earthquake, you cannot stand perfectly still. It'll move you, it'll shake you, it'll make you unsteady. But whether the city was named Nod before or after Cain settled there, it was still a very appropriate name for the place where Cain was chosen to dwell. Remember the curse. That was the life that God promised Cain. I've noticed something, and I'm sure you have too. If you'll watch somebody that's going out from the presence of the Lord, somebody that's leaving his presence, somebody that's walking away from the cross, walking away from him, they'll always be dwelling in the land of Nod. They can't find any satisfaction anywhere. They can't find peace. That's one of the reasons why backsliders it seems like they can't sin enough. They're trying to find satisfaction, peace, and joy, and fulfillment, the things that they've known when they were serving the Lord, but they can't find it where they're looking. They're looking in the wrong place. And Cain, if we could talk to him, say, Cain, it doesn't matter where you would have chosen to dwell, as long as you're going out from the presence of the Lord, wherever you would have chosen to dwell would have been called Nod. It's quiet in here this morning. Stay with me, please. I can tell you with assurance, I can. If you've been contemplating wandering out of God's presence, what you're looking for is not out there. What you're looking for is not out there. What you're hungry for that real happiness, for that real joy, for that real peace, for that real love, it can only be found in the presence of God. That peace of mind, that satisfaction, it can only be found in the Prince of Peace. Last week we talked about the contrast between Cain and Paul and how they were both guilty of the same sin. They're both guilty of murder. Cain physically killed Abel. Paul witnessed against the Christians, delivered them to those that would kill them, and consented to their death, and actually stood and guarded the robes of those that would kill Stephen. He was guilty of murder as well, but the difference is when God confronted Paul with his sin, he didn't choose to leave the presence of God. He chose to follow after Christ in obedience. He chose to surrender himself. And I really think this is interesting at first glance. I actually, even last week, this didn't hit me until yesterday. Cain dwelt, or he was abiding in Nod. Paul traveled the known world with the message of the gospel. Well, you're saying, Brother Allen, well, Cain got to stay in one place. Wasn't he supposed to be a vagabond? But he stayed in one place. Paul couldn't stay in one place very long. And I'm preaching that Cain was cursed, Paul was blessed. Is it that something doesn't fit right there? The difference was that anywhere that Cain would dwell would be Nod. A land of wanderings, land of restlessness, rootlessness, a place of quaking, trembling, and shaking. And wherever Paul was, well, let me read how he put it. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise the Lord. Now, no matter where Paul dwelt, he found contentment. He found the peace, the satisfaction, the joy, the peace. He, no matter where he was. Praise the Lord. Because he was serving the Lord. When he was abased, when he was brought low by humility, he was content. When he abounded, when he had that superabundance, he had contentment. When he was hungry, he was content. When he was full, he was content. The reason was because he could do all things through Christ. There was no obstacle too big. There was no mountain that was too tall. There was no giant that was too mighty. There was no circumstance that was too bad or too adverse or too difficult. Jesus' power working in Paul was greater than any and every circumstance of life. So you tell me, where would you rather dwell? In Nod, never satisfied, never at peace, or in God? A place of peace and contentment. If you can't find satisfaction in life, it's because you're not dwelling where you need to be. So what you need to do is get out the GPS. Not this one. Because all this one can do is tell you where you are on the globe. But get out this one. This is called a global positioning system. Get this one out. It's called a God positioning system. It'll tell you where you are in God. Praise the Lord. That's so much more important. Here we go again. Brother Harris is on his hobby horse. We need to read God's word and we need to pray. Yes, we do. I'm there again. I so appreciated the testimonies of Wednesday night. People talking about things that God had shown them while they were reading the Word of God. I'm going to tell you that'll make a church stronger. If you have a church that reads the Word of God and prays, it'll make them a stronger church. Praise the Lord. And it will ensure that we stay in the truth. Praise the Lord. But if you'll do that, God will show you where you are in Him. And He'll give you directions to that place in Him where you can find that peace and that contentment and that satisfaction and that fulfillment that you've been searching for. The truth about our lives is this: peace and contentment have absolutely nothing to do with our circumstances. You say, well, Brother Harris, you've said that a lot of times. I believe it. I know it's the truth. They have everything to do with our relationship with Christ. So are you choosing to live in Nod? Are you dwelling in God? David said, Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Praise the Lord. Praise. That sounds like a good dwelling place to me. Praise the Lord. What a contrast to where Cain was dwelling. No wonder Cain couldn't find any peace. No wonder he couldn't find any rest or any satisfaction. He was choosing to live outside of the refuge. And no wonder Paul was able to be content in every circumstance. He was dwelling in Christ. He was dwelling in the refuge. He was dwelling in the fortress. He was covered by God's wings, and God's word was his shield and his buckler. He was depending on that. So we all have a choice that we can make. Where will we dwell? Will you dwell in Nod? Let me read it again. A land of wanderings, restlessness, and rootlessness. A place of quaking, trembling, and shaking. Or will you dwell in God? A refuge, a fortress, a shelter. Praise the Lord. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. It's just like when Moses set that choice before the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Praise the Lord. I choose life. I choose blessing. I choose God. What about you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning. Sister Tammy, would you come? Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. God, I'm so thankful that I found that refuge, that I found that fortress. God, I'm so thankful that I found the entry, the door. And, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the peace and the satisfaction and the rest and the joy and the love that I have found there. God, I ask you this morning, if there's anybody in this place, oh, God, that they sense in themselves that they've started to make the journey out from the presence of the Lord. God, the place that they're going, the place that they'll dwell, no matter what they call it, no matter where they head out, no matter where they end up, it's going to be Nod. But if they'll stay in the shelter, if they'll stay in the refuge, that's the place of comfort. That's the place of safety. I ask you to deal with our hearts this morning. God, remind us just exactly what we have, the blessing that we have, the refuge that we have, the safety that we have, and help us to trust in you completely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Last week, when I got to comparing Paul and Cain, it was hard for me to wait a week to go to this and talk about where Paul was satisfied everywhere he dwelt, and Cain just couldn't find any rest. If I had the time, I could tell you a story about two boys that grew up in the same city, loved each other, best friends, and how as they left the teenage years, their lives took separate paths. One chose to dwell in God, and one chose to dwell in Nod. And the path, you say, well, Brother Harris, your life isn't perfect. No, it's not perfect. And I'm not perfect. But I do know what it is to be contented. And I know what it is to have the satisfaction and the peace of being right where God wants me to be. And I look at his life, that boy that I still love, and I see how restless and how rootless and how he's wandered, and his life has been so steeped in sin and so destroyed by the enemy. And he's making some moves back in the right direction. God's been dealing with him. God's been working with him. But his life has been such a wreck. That's me and my buddy I'm talking about. Me and my friend. And so when I looked at this and saw this picture, I thought, I'm so thankful that I chose to dwell in God. And there's been some times that I've started in the wrong direction, and I've started to wonder. I've started to take steps that I shouldn't have taken, and God gently reached out, pulled me back, and let me know I didn't want to dwell in Nod. So for 44 years, I've dwelt in God, and I wouldn't dwell anywhere else. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for my shelter, for my refuge. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Harris, there's nobody lost here this morning. I understand that. But we need to make sure that where we're dwelling is in God. Don't let ourselves turn. Don't let ourselves turn even a step away from him, but draw closer to him. Could we come into these altars this morning? Let's make our calling and our election sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's find ourselves in the shadow of his wings this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.